Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us every day. And Lord, we pray as we go throughout this meeting that we keep the citizens of Bertie County in mind. And Lord, just help us to do the work of the county. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
First up will be Ms. Robin Payne. And
what all
the last four updates? How are you?
I'm good. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, we're going to start off with a travel and tourism update for Bertie County. On the screen is the travel and tourism breakdown. On the left, we have the core branding team. That's Steve and myself. For the schools, it's Dr. Smallwood, Kim Cooper, Michael White. Partnership for the Sounds and the River Center, Tom Stroud, Joe Huff, and Rod Martin. Chamber of Commerce is Louis Hogger. And Bertie's Small Business Network is Nicole Outlaw. And of course, we'll bring everything to you for review. We are meeting the 13th of this week. We will be looking at a list of survey questions that Destination by Design has provided to us so that we're prepared for a meeting with them via Zoom for the first week of February. After that first week in February Zoom meeting with them, we'll be scheduling a time for DBD to come to Bertie County for 3 days. And after that, they'll be meeting with the second column of stakeholders. And then we'll work on different levels of surveys to reach out to a broader group so everybody has as much input as possible into the branding process. Anybody have any questions on that piece? When we talk about travel and tourism long-term, of course, we need to investigate occupancy tax. And just a description or a definition of occupancy tax is it's a percentage of gross receipts derived from rental of room, lodging, campsite, or similar accommodation furnished by any hotel, motel, inn, tourist camp, including private residences and cottages rented to vacationers. Tax does not fund government activity by law. It must support travel and tourism industry, which benefits Bertie businesses.
So basically it's reinvesting the money back into the businesses that are here, correct?
Right, right. Yeah, it has to do that.
By law.
Right.
Great.
So I am asking or requesting commissioner's approval to begin researching what it would take to establish an occupancy tax. Of course, we'd be working off of a template that's already created, a legal document that's at the state, but it'd probably take a couple months to 3 months to research.
Okay. I'd like to have a motion in that fact, so we have it in writing, and it's a motion.
Make the motion that we give Robin the permission to research. Investigate further.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
All right. Have a second for Ms. Lee. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Robin and a team.
You're not going to do it all right.
Okay. You're the leader of that team.
Yeah. Robin, you did. On your thing you've just put up here, you showed like at a stage when you get to the municipalities, but you're aware that we have I think it's quarterly meeting with all the mayors, all the towns. So this would be a perfect opportunity, something like that, to get before all of that body at once.
Right.
We could arrange that, be the keynote speaker.
Did Alan ever get back in touch? Okay, we'll do that.
Okay.
And we also, I think we want to, yeah, talk to me. Other activities going
sure,
on.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so good. And something else I wanted to highlight, and it's been on our radar for a while, is that when we're talking about branding, I think it's real important that the branding project really prioritizes economic development and businesses. If someone were to ask me what Bertie County is doing to support local businesses, you know, what's the county doing? I would immediately say, I mean, of course, tall glass of water is on my brain, but I would immediately say that, you know, the branding project is significant because long-term that where we enforce, that's marketing for all of the businesses. It doesn't matter whether it's a big business, small business, or a new business coming down the road. For a new business, it's what's necessary for them to make a long-range plan. So I think that's a big step. So I think everybody is excited to start. So we're looking forward. We'll keep you updated on how we progress. So, okay, next slide. Okay. Tall glass of water, wetlands restoration and preservation. I always keep in mind that, you know, the Tall Glass of Water Project scores high, you know, receives, it's important and it receives its funding because of its benefits to the public, and it's protecting and enhancing North Carolina natural areas. So the slide that you're looking at identifies three areas on the project that are important wetlands areas. The northern boundary and the two pictures at the top. I mean, we have loads of pictures from Chowan University. And, you know, when you're out in the field, you know, you're coming down the road to Tall Glass of Water, and you're looking on the left, and then you see that bank of trees. You don't know what's beyond those trees. It's awesome. I mean, there's this meandering series of streams that produces this, you know, typical photo right there. The students on the left, they're measuring and taking pictures, doing water quality samples, identifying the different species that are there. So that spot is amazing. And I think that Chowan is doing the large part of their work on that area. But that runs the whole northern boundary. And then the picture down at the bottom is Dr. Riggs and a group of us that were there July 6th, and he's standing at the mouth of the northern boundary. And then, of course, you have the two ponds and then the southern boundary. So on July 6th, when we had a group of folks out there from the state with Dr. Riggs was leading the tour, you know, everybody agreed that these are some pretty significant special spots. And so preserving them and restoring pieces of the northern boundary and the ponds would be wonderful. And we can get some funding to do that. But of course, we'd like to have commissioners' approval to move forward and bring that team back and see what it would take to identify the southern boundary as a significant natural heritage area. The southern boundary wetlands area, you know, part of it is on the Salmon Creek State Natural Area. And I know that, you know, that significance is part of what got them that funding to purchase the property. So we would work in partnership with the state to get that designation completed. The southern boundary doesn't need any restoration work, just would be nice to preserve it. And so far, none of our plans call for anything that would be detrimental to the southern boundary, the ponds or the northern boundary, actually. But so I wanted to receive approval to move forward and have the area researched. Have any questions on that?
You had mentioned before that these grants could possibly put walking trails through here, the stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Part of it, right?
Part of it could. Okay. Right. All right.
And that's why in my pricing, which we'll go over later, I have the walking trails, which part of it would be a bridges, uh-huh, raised walking areas going throughout the wetlands. And I have the bridge on the wetlands restoration segment of the pricing.
Exactly.
Because a wetlands restoration, what you would do when you're building a bridge over the ponds is different than if you just came in and built a straight bridge with no understanding of
the engineering of it,
yeah, water flow and
exactly,
yeah. So okay, yeah, that's why the bridge is looped into the wetlands area. And we have with phase one, we've already done 2 miles of hiking trails, but with this next phase, we would do 5 miles of hiking trails.
Fantastic.
As part of the wetlands.
You know, Robin, if anybody wants to see the raised walking trails right across from the Windsor Zoo that goes back into the wetlands area there. They have raised platforms, trails that go all the way back. It's beautiful. And they get a good number of people there that come walking too. So
also gives for the campgrounds we're putting in, things of that nature, things for people to do, and things for the people of Bertie County to do that are going down for the day. So I want to look at that as a motion.
So move.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. I think Dr. Riggs is interested in the future classrooms too. There's always that eye on what can the students do. So an educational walkway, wetlands, etc. Next, Tall Glass of Water Phase One. I just, before we get into review of the contract with Cinderella Partners, I wanted to review what we received our funding for and what specifically is getting ready to happen on phase, just each of those elements of construction. Okay, so the drawing on the left, this is a construction drawing. We've got the handicap accessible walkway to the beach. It's a full 12 feet width of stabilized aggregate, which is semi-porous, like a pebbled texture. Handrail on the left. Then we have a walkway around the restroom and pavilion. Actually, I'm not going to go through this list because that's surface treatments. We have at the top of the walkway, we have the restrooms, outdoor showers, covered picnic pavilion with 8 picnic tables. We've got a parking area. We've got 2 miles of hiking trail, and we have meadow restoration. That's reseeding in natural grasses that would have been typical of that area. Then we've got a kayak kiosk. And then of course we've got utilities costs and all that go to that. So the construction contract was or is $761,240. The electric cost, which Bertie will do directly with Roanoke, is $65,000. That comes to $826,240. And then below we have the funding that we received for the construction. Part F, WRDG, which is Water Resources Development, CAMA. Environmental enhancement share, which goes towards seeding, and then Bertie set aside cast match of $52,500 and bringing that total to $826,498.
And again, I'd like to remind all the county commissioners on that $52,000 match that was approved last year, and that money is in the budget.
There you are.
That's the reason I pointed that way to the finance guy.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about that? And I can send you the digital version of the construction documents if you'd like that.
I would love that.
We have an old set upstairs, you know, the traditional, you know, hard copies, but they've been revised a number of times. So we have digital.
Robin, do we have that in print somewhere, the figures that you just shared with us? Because I can't see
it. Right here.
So on your desk.
Right here.
Yeah. Is that what that? I'll send it to you. It doesn't itemize it as well. Usually, when I meet with the commissioners, I have a series of notes. So right afterwards, I will send you an email of a copy of my PDF, if that's okay. All right, so funding. Now, we also received planning monies, but we're about 80% done with our planning monies, and that's separate from this, so that and that's covered. So, Jonathan, do we want to dive into this, or do we want to talk about the contract later?
Let's go ahead. Okay, let's do that. That'd be fine. Okay.
All right. Let's see. All right, so we're moving into phase two. Originally, when Vines gave us a drawing, that master plan that we submitted to Part F and the estimates, the phases were broken down where we have a little bit of a campground being done, you know, with phase two, phase three, phase four, phase five. And after talking to you all over the last months, we went ahead and revised our pricing so that we targeted five areas. And what you have in front of you is that 11 by 17. So we've got core infrastructure, and that's everything, you know, that's your water, your electric, the main lines going out to service the pockets of activities that we have.
And sewer?
Well, septic.
Yeah. Same difference.
Yeah. But yes. Yeah. But then when we talk about the campground, the restrooms by the pavilion, picnic pavilion and all, you know, then we have those costs again. Septic, electric. But we have to have that initial core infrastructure. Then we have community facilities, which are the large pavilion and stage, restrooms and parking. Then area three is camping. That's all camping. Area four is the wetlands that we talked about. And area five would be the multi-use community facility or cabins, concessions, or covered walkway. But that can be for later discussion. It seems that you want the community to have use of the property as soon as possible. So the picnic pavilion, the stage, you know, having a restroom, having a parking area, you know, that is a real doable target.
Yeah. And Robin, I think that's a key point as far as I'm concerned, because in this project, what we've tried to do, I think, is to balance the use of this property for local folks, mm-hmm. as well as to be able to attract others into this community, right? To see Bertie, to become a part of Bertie. So that blend of having both is what we really need. I mean, we're spending a lot of grant money, but we're also spending some citizens' money. So we want to make sure that, we're creating and prioritizing things that local folks can use, as well as to be able to expand and bring in folks, which lowers everybody's taxes and everything else, you know, so that's a good balance.
I had a question for you. Mm-hmm. As far as the RV sites, primitive camping and things of that nature, there's not really any grants that would cover that, correct?
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge. Okay. And the covered pavilion, amphitheater, the mm-hmm. same difference, correct?
That would be different.
Okay, that would be different. Okay.
I mean, I haven't stopped looking for the campgrounds.
I understand.
So, a lot of things have changed. It's now, we're in an outdoor recreation economy now.
Right.
But this has just happened. Right. So I wouldn't close the door on it completely, but, you know, campgrounds, because it's income producing, is not like a community facility.
Right.
Or something like that.
I just want that to be clear in the commissioners' minds when we go to budget, okay, and things of that nature. So we will need to get some sort of estimate.
Yeah, right.
And I know you said, Robin, that one of the hardest things to fund with grants was the cabins too, right? I mean, that's
very
expensive.
Back burner.
We put that on the back burner.
Right.
And that's what you see in purple on your handout. And we also removed the cabins into the open field. If we're trying to maximize the number of RVs, we added two more loops. So instead of just having eight, I think is just the original estimate, we added enough for 38 in the woodland area. So if you wanted to add cabins later, or Dr. Riggs's teacher, student classroom cabins, for overnight stays, which that would be great. And it's real doable in the open field.
Absolutely. So, that way we don't have to worry about clearing and things of that nature.
Well, Robin, will the infrastructure be there for the cabins?
We would branch off from the main infrastructure.
I was just thinking maybe some sponsorship of cabins might be.
Mm-hmm. Well, where are we going with
in this, memory of or
what we're doing here with the phase two discussion now is we're trying to get an agreement on we're going to focus on these four areas, and we're going to come up with a funding plan. And so the pricing that you have is updated pricing from Vines that we've broken apart into the four areas, right? Core infrastructure, community facility, campgrounds, and the wetlands restoration. So, you know, now we're looking at funding plan. So part of a funding plan is, can we get, you know, gifts, you know, naming opportunities, you know, but we're, most of it is grants, and we have to know what our match requirement is. So.
And I'd like to say this also, in that phase, this is basically phase two that Robin's talking about with the campgrounds and RV and this, that, and the other. Everybody's in agreement that that is what we should walk straight into after the infrastructure. There's been a lot of ideas thrown around and this, that, and the other. Everybody's in agreement with that, correct?
Right.
If it is, I want to look at that as a motion, okay? That's the direction we're going in, and we're sticking to it, moving that direction. You have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
You have a second? All right, we got Mr. Robertson, Mr. Atkins. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Am I missing anything?
Okay. So will our camping sites be full hookup? Except for
electric,
no water.
We can price out the water. I don't have the water priced in this.
Okay.
So you might want to look at the large RV. Maybe we could add water to that and then keep just electric for the smaller RV, which is typical, you know, to have no, just electric for smaller RV. And I didn't have a price for that, so we can add the price.
Well, I see you have a place on here for tents. Most tent places don't have electric. They, you know, there's a water access somewhere, but yeah.
And those are getting in the weeds of, you know, when they do the final getting electric out there. Part of the tent, part of the small RV stuff may have electric in the other part. Those details.
And you also list that as an option also.
Yeah. Okay. I need you to look at this just one more time. And of course, we'll be coming back to you as we get, once we get more details, but I highlighted or broke down the columns in the on-site improvements estimate, January 22nd forward, planning monies and construction monies. And then, you know, core infrastructure, for instance, we need to do our planning first. So I'm looking at grants for that amount in the planning column. And then here's our targeted match, which I had at 30%, which is high, you know, but I feel it's best to go on the higher end. But this gives us something to shoot for. As we're looking on budgets for the next year, 2 years, 3 years.
It's a lot of money.
We've been real lucky to get, you know, the grants. You know, it's such a great project.
And I think if you look at it, I think everybody in the state that's looking at this project is a very unique project for a county like Bertie to take on and to do. And I think there's been a lot of people that are in the, how should we say, gifting the grants that is looking at this, how important it is to a county like Bertie as far as economically. and for the people of Bertie County. As I've said numerous times, entertainment in Bertie County, you have to go outside the county. We're bringing it to the county, and that way our people don't have to leave. We've got people from outside the county coming to us also, which is a revenue-driven stream that we need desperately. So,
I think you all are doing the right thing. You're preserving, you know, a pretty amazing natural area. And you know, with the branding process too, all of these pieces are fitting together, and it tells somebody who might be interested in funding the project that you're doing what's necessary to keep it special and to protect it and restore it. So I think that carries a lot of weight. There is one more thing I wanted to show you. Let me figure out how to work this. Okay. Just look at the top area, campground revenue. Can you see that? Just pay attention to that top left spot. This is the income and expense Excel package that Keenan Institute did for Tall Glass of Water. And it will give us at the top here what our projected revenue is. So right here, we've got camper cabins at zero because we're not including those now. We've come down to primitive. We've got 8 primitive campsites. That's phase one. And then we've got 18 tents and small RVs with electric. And then we adjusted it to RV pull-throughs. Those are the large at 38 spots. And the estimate is based on 90 days of usage. So let's say we decided, all right, well, we're going to extend the season. Gosh, William, I hope I'll do this right.
9 days per year.
Yeah.
Just because normally, you know, you're running full season of a campground. So you would have to work on what your rules are for stays, adjust your stays for winter time, let's say. So if I adjusted it, did it take 120? And now we're up to 289,000. So this is an invaluable tool as we move forward. We can use it to keep adjusting. We'll use it when we go for grants. We've got different personnel listed with what their going salaries could be. Not suggesting that we would need all these folks, but it will let us know, you know, what really we're looking at.
Robin, you make a great point about making sure that we spend time to around those rules that we create around stay. I mean, look what has happened in Windsor with their campground, which started out as a temporary kind of site to give people access to the tree houses and all that area. But now people have locked those things up for almost year-round stay. So visitors coming in can't get any places to use in that campground. That's not what was intended. So even though it brings in revenue, it's not supporting the intended use. So we need to be careful in our planning.
Most places are 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All year round.
I do too.
Yeah, people are camping year round.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's safe. You know, we can adjust it.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay. I can send you this Excel document too.
Fantastic.
Look at it. All right. That's it. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yep. You all know they have put a lot of money.
Well, she's got counties now called the Burr.
We'll start because of work with them.
No.
Planning on this project has been astronomical. And if you don't believe it, ask the county just a little bit north of us and one a little bit west. they're trying to do exactly what y'all had the site vision to do, you know, 6 years ago. They're trying to start now.
Well, I can tell you now, I mean, being in developing and building in South Florida, from the time that we purchased the property, infrastructure, the whole nine yards, getting to actual working architecturals, it takes us 2 to 2.5 years. Okay. And that's in private business before you get to that point. And for what we've done in a county like this, that's been able to turn around and take a project of this size and magnitude and do what we've done, it takes a lot of planning. Takes a lot of ideas and then consolidating the best of those ideas to make it happen. I think we've got the right people here that's done that. And even though it seems people say, well, it's been 6 years. Well, guess what? These things take time. Even in private industry, I don't think private industry could have got any further probably within 4 years to do something of this magnitude and this size, especially environmentally. Okay. So I think we've had a great, great.
Well, the big thing is we've tried to be very conservative with the taxpayers' money. I mean, if we were willing to spend a lot of money, it could move a lot faster.
And you know, one of the things we've learned from Robin is what she told us from the very beginning, because we went looking for a quote grant writer, and she says, "Well, you got to have all of those other pieces in place in terms of, you know, your strategy about your vision, the whole work that makes the grant writing possible. But if you don't have that other piece in place, you know, you're going to struggle with that." And that's truly paid off for us, Robin.
I applaud you, Robin, for all your efforts. You've done a great job.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
Has phase one started?
Got a contract. Okay.
That comes at noontime.
Okay, gotcha. Restrooms by this
July,
summer.
August 1. Yeah. End of July, August 1.
But restrooms by this summer? Yeah.
Big stuff, big stuff. Thank you, Mr. Gibbs.
Thank you, Robin, for everything you've done. And Steve Biggs. Thank you.
Man.
Mr. Manager, we have auditors are supposed to be here at 10 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Are they here now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't see anybody back in the background over there. So, anyhow. All right, next on the agenda is going to be the presentation of the 2020 and 2021 audit by Allen Thompson, CPA, Managing Partner.
My name is Stuart Hill with Thompson, Price, Scott, and Adams. Thank you for having me today. I'm substituting for Greg. He was unable to come today, so I thank you for allowing me to substitute for him. So I'm going to be honest up front. I did not do the audit procedures on Bertie County, but I've reviewed the audit report and the presentation summary. So you may have some questions that I might know the answers to, or you may have some that I don't. But if I don't know, we'll try to get you some. We'll get with Greg or whoever to get that done. So at any rate, Also want to thank your staff for answering questions and providing documentation. You can't do an audit without that, so appreciate that as well. So what we have is a presentation summary. It's probably similar to what's been done in the past. I assume y'all have these copies, full audit report, presentation summary.
Summary.
Thank you. Yeah. Got it.
I assume you want to go with presentation rather than this.
It'd be fine.
So that's what we'll start with. So in the early part of that, there's some required communications that we are supposed to discuss with you. This just basically is generic stuff. Your staff was, very helpful. We didn't have any problems in getting that done. There are a couple of deficiencies that we have in there. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
And you're talking in reference to the 2020 or 2021?
2021. Your accounting estimates and management's for reasonable methods used. All the adjustments that were found were recorded. We didn't have any disagreements with the management, as I know of. There was no. No consultation with other accountants. That would be like a second opinion that I'm aware of. And there was no prior to retention issues that were needed. Again, we didn't have any significant difficulties in the audit procedures, and we didn't find any irregularities or illegal acts. On this page, this is just some of the general fund key items. Your total revenues for 2021, you can see it was $26,802,961. Your general fund expenditures, including transfers, is $25,551,155, which has a net change of $1,251,806. Your unassigned fund balance is $242,389, and your fund balance available as a percentage of your general fund expenditures are 6.32%. This particular item is problematic a little bit because the state has a requirement that should not be lower than 8.33%. So the LGC this year has stopped sending letters. They usually have, when you have something that's problematic like that, they'll send you a letter and ask you to respond to it and tell them what you're planning to do to rectify that and what the status is at this point. They're not sending that letter anymore, but you still have to send that letter to them. They don't send you the letter to request it, but we are required to tell you now that you need to send them a letter to do that. So you will need to do that. And that would be within 60 days of today, because it's 60 days from the time of the presentation. So
can I interrupt for 1 second, just for the, if there's any listening audience, that 6.3% right. is much higher than it was last year. So we've made significant progress on that. And we will continue to work on.
Yeah, and we're going to see that.
Yes.
So absolutely, it is better than it was last year. Yeah. So that's a good thing. That's part of what you can put in with your level.
Right.
So absolutely. So that's the bad part, if there is a bad part. Your tax collections are good. They're at 98.11%, and your the state average is 97.29%. So you're above the average of the state in your tax collections. Okay. On the next page, This is your public utilities fund. Your total revenues were $2,931,722. Your expenditures were $3,294,140. Getting a net change of a negative $362,418. Your net position at the beginning of the year was $16,935,032. And at the end of the year, it was $16,572,614. Okay, so on this is an analysis of your cash 5-year trend so that you can see how your cash accounts have risen and failed. So you can see in 2017 you had $7.5 million, and in 2021 you got $5.7 million basically. You can see the other numbers all in between. We don't have to read all that unless you want me to.
But I would like to point out that 2020 was $2 million less, and in 2021, we increased over $2 million.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. All right. So in this chart, the analysis of fund balance for the general fund, you can see this is the total fund balance in the darker blue, and the restricted and committed fund balance in the light blue. And you can see there as well, 2021, your total fund balance is $5,395,998, and the restricted and committed is $5,153,609. Both of those are up from 2020. In 2017, just for 5 years back, was $7,288,416. And respectively, $5,015,263. That's how your fund balance has trended over these 5 years. It went up as well from last year. This chart is where we're seeing that even though it's still under the requirement, is much better than it was last year. This is that percentage that we were just talking about. You can see the 5-year trend on that, and it is back up. So that's a good, and that's a good, as I said, a good start for your letter. So.
Yes.
Okay, so in the compliance section of the audit, these are from the Medicaid department, basically. There were two findings in there, 2021-001 and 2021-002. Those were just the 2021-001 was documentation issues, but there were no question costs. It's just then on 2021-002, it was errors in procedures, and again, no question cost. So that's just procedural things that were missed, and that's very common. I mean, there's hardly anybody that doesn't have some of those. Those are just like typos and just didn't match up from this page to that page, or to the NCFAST may be different than what some of the records were.
And this is all through DSS, correct?
That's correct. So that's what the rest of this whole thing is at this point.
The ladies that work in that department say NCFAST is a beast, that it's really difficult program.
There's hardly anybody that doesn't have some of these findings. So you want to minimize them the best you can, of course. But, basically, I know that's short, sweet, whatever. And so that's kind of where we are. And, again, if you have any questions, I'll try to answer it. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty. Does anybody have any questions?
I do have a question, not just for audit, but for one, two. Does DSS do a separate audit for themselves, because some of their funds come from separate places?
Yes, this is an audit. DSS on the DSS.
Right. But I've been a commissioner for about 8, going on 9 years. I've never seen it. Okay. So can we get a copy of that? I'd like to see what their audit shows about their performance. We never, Anybody ever seen that?
Nah, we haven't seen that ever since.
I don't know who does that audit, whoever, but it'd be nice for us to be able to see. Okay, so.
I was just, you know, I was chair last year, so I really appreciate y'all being timely with this, and it's, I appreciate the county manager's efforts in getting that fund balance up, and yeah, we're, things are looking much better than, sure. Hopefully we won't have to visit with Miss Beth Woods this year.
You don't want to.
No, yeah, we did that last year. We don't want to do that again.
All right, Stuart, anybody have any other questions? William, you got any questions? Okay.
I just, as a broad question, you may not be able to answer this. I know, what are you seeing? And you guys do a lot of different audits, a lot of different counties. What are you seeing in terms of issues that counties are having? Is it fund balance issues? Is it whatever? What are you seeing?
I don't see a whole lot of fund balance issues. There are, you're not the only one, but we don't see a whole lot of those. I think basically the biggest thing that I see is when the GASB, the Governmental Accounting Standard Force, issues these new like rules. GASB 84 and GASB 87, and some of them don't get it all implemented in time, and so it's, they didn't quite get what they needed to do that. We've had several of those this year, especially for GASB 84. GASB 84 has to do with custodial funds. They changed the accounting procedures that and the presentation of it, of what the schedules have to look like now, and sometimes you have to create a new fund for some of those things, and some of them just didn't realize that. And then there's also GASB 87. Let me go back. GASB 84 was implemented in this year, this 2021 year. GASB 87 is being implemented in the year you're in right now. So for 2022, hopefully y'all are on top of GASB 87 and know about what it is and what you need to do. That's the lease stuff that has that. And if you don't, no, it's just...
Say that again. That has to do with the lease stuff? The
different ways of accounting for the leases.
Okay.
So... that's GASB 87. They want to look into that. A lot of people, most counties and towns, there's a company called Debt Book. You might want to write.
Can you speak up a little bit? Or
I'm sorry. A company called Debt Book.
Yeah.
They are helping counties and towns to, and I'm not advertising for them.
I understand that.
That's the only one I know of. And
you're everybody. Passing along information. You're good to go. Right. Keep moving.
So Debt Book, they are a company that kind of like Kavanaugh McDonald with your actuarial reports. They come in and look at what debts you have and see how much of that lease, some of it's a lease, some of it is true debt, you know. So they get that stuff sorted out for you. I mean, you can do it yourself, but if you're struggling with it, everybody has said they did a bang up job for them.
And let me remind the board that all of our vehicles that we have with the sheriff's department, things of that nature, are leased vehicles, right. Including utilities, I think, correct? Right. If I'm not mistaken, but I do know all law enforcement is leased vehicles. Exactly. Thanks, William. So this is pretty important stuff here. It could go back and show that as not a debt, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's what I was looking at, because would there be a depreciation schedule put to anything like that? Or
some of it, yes.
Okay. All right. That's something we need to react on. And is there any way you can send us information on this? Okay. And get it to the finance officer and the county manager, okay? Sure. Because this is something that could... be good for us, okay?
All right.
And reflect back positively for us, okay?
Let's have one other question. In meeting that I was in for the last couple of months with five counties, the Mideast, there's some concern around the accounting required around ARP funds. Are you guys going to have a role in determining whether or not when you do our audit, that are we in compliance? Are you guys planning that? How does that work in terms of the auditor's role?
Well, from my perspective, I mean, I I don't do the compliance myself. We have other people in our firm that do, because we I do the financial auditing, and I know that the compliance people would be the ones that would be taking that on, and the same ones that have these findings here for the Medicaid stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the same in our firm.
Right.
Now, I don't know from the state or federal or whatever auditors that you may have come in or something. I don't know if you have any of those to come in or not, but I don't know what they would do. But handling it in the actual audit report that we provide, that compliance section is done by a whole different group.
Let me tell you what's being discussed across this district, and now the association is getting involved too. The requirements, as we can best tell around reporting on ARP dollars, is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it would require a significant manpower, as the rules are written now, to be able to be in compliance with how that money is. Municipalities especially, counties and like ours, limited wealth counties not having a lot of outside financial support, it's going to be a nightmare unless some guidelines are changed, right? So, I mean, that's a major concern. So for now that our association is getting involved, that there's got to be, and the recommendation that that I think you'll hear made is that the COGS, since there are COGS that represent the whole state around groups of counties, should be given funding so that they can provide the kind of assistance that we need as a county or as a municipality around compliance. Because if we've got to do it, we're going to be held responsible for it. But if you got a larger entity with more resources, there needs to be some way, because it's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Well, we'll see.
Question for you. We had just received the finalized 2020 audit also. Okay. Is there any preparation for discussion of that, or is there any changes from the...
I've got the presentation summary because Greg sent it, but I didn't know what he sent it to me for, but I got it.
Okay, because we just received this, the final copies of it. That's the reason I brought it up. Which one were we going over?
I can do that if you want me to. I haven't.
Okay, we can pop through that real quick. And
And you have copies for us of the summary? Or did you just have just one copy?
I just have the one copy. I didn't.
That's good.
We can send you.
Sure, sure.
So y'all don't have, do you have a copy of the 2020?
I don't have any copies today, but this would be the presentation that Greg did a few months back.
Okay.
He did that, but the hard copy is what you now have.
Yeah, we have.
We didn't have a hard copy at the time, nor did we have the final copy. Okay.
Okay.
We just got the final copy a few days ago, and I think he had to send to get those, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that tells you how far behind they have been.
So he's done I don't recall.
He already did the 2020 presentation. Yeah. Yes.
The main question, Juan, is were there any changes in the final copy?
No, sir. No.
There's no changes.
The changes that were made had to do with the management discussion and analysis, and a couple of the errors that I emailed you about a while back that William and of course, Dave was part of that discussion too, but William and I contacted Greg about some errors in 2020, and those have been made. Yes.
Okay. So the errors that I talked about with you about, we've got that straightened out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one quick question.
Yes.
What Greg sent to the LGC was the corrected copy of the 20. Is that correct or no? I'm just concerned if we get feedback based on prior, because my understanding was he submitted prior to us making the changes that we just talked about, right?
Yes.
So did he send a corrected, or that's not an issue?
I can get back. to ask Greg about that. I'm not sure if he resent it and got it approved again. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. That would be our main concern right there. That they do have the correct copy. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And also in the management analysis, those changes have been made that I brought to everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's important for the RGC to have.
Absolutely. And going from there. And these are the things, Stuart, you probably don't know about. Yeah. So there's no way you can respond to that. So these are more management questions that they'll get back with us on. So in other words, all right. So that was the main concerns with me. I didn't know whether or not, and again, Greg, I don't know what happened to him. He has health issues, whatever, doesn't matter. You came. We appreciate somebody representing your company. This is the first time somebody's ever came in person. And I'd have to say in our three-year stint so far. And it goes a long way when you do come in person because the rest of the county commissioners can meet you and find out who we're dealing with sure. instead of who we aren't dealing with. And phone calls just doesn't work so much. And I think you understand that also.
Absolutely. Look, I'm old. I'm old school. I'm face-to-face. I don't like the Zoom stuff.
I agree.
I know it's more efficient. In some cases.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when he's trying to start a working relationship with each other. Sure. And we can go from there. So right. Anybody have any other questions? All right.
All right. Thank you, Masia, for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Stuart. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're so loud.
Okay. Next, we're going to have fund balance review. Mr. William Robertson, Finance Director.
For those of
I tell you what, did everybody want to take a 5-minute recess?
That sounds great.
All right, let's take a 5-minute recess. Come back from reconvening. We have Mr. William Robinson, Director of Finance, going to fund balance review.
Before I begin on that, I want to share a little information based on what I heard earlier that was said by the auditor. Several months ago, I actually had a demo of the debt book. So I actually have already spoken with them. Their product was very interesting or whatever. About a month after my demo, I received notice that the NCACC has partnered with debt book. So they're now in conjunction with them. So I really do think it's something for us to look into to get prepared for this GASB 87 lease program that he was talking about going forward.
And that way we can get in front of it.
Yeah. But I did want you to know, I have actually done a demo with them. I've actually talked with them, and I'm actually encouraged now that they're part of the NCACC's recommending them as an organization to use. Not yet. That was the one thing I have not gone that far with.
Okay. Yeah.
They can drop it down. And that was the encouraging thing I saw, because when I first looked at them, it was going to be us going to them. And when I saw the NCACC had partnered with them, I was hoping that that would actually do that, but I don't know for sure.
Okay. Well, when are you able to find that information? We definitely need that before budget. Okay.
Okay. Now moving forward, I actually had a slide presentation that was done when I went to a finance training session at Chapel Hill. And I know this says 18, but it pretty much follows the handout I gave you. And on here, this comes from the State and Local Government Finance Division. They basically talk about the purpose of a fund balance. As you all know, it's for cash flow, avoid short-term borrowing, operating cycle, because taxes usually come in December, a reserve for emergencies, stuff like that, and so on. And, of course, the last one, avoid LGC warnings, because they do have an 8%. On the next page, it said legal definition of available fund balance, General Statute 159.8a. The formula is cash and investments minus liabilities minus encumbrances minus deferred revenue arising from cash receipts equals fund balance available for appropriation. So basically, I actually had my audit book.
I don't know.
Two.
On the back of page one.
Right, right.
If you go to your 21 audit book on page, which definition? The legal definition. At the top slide on page two. It says legal definition of available fund balance. Okay. If you have your 2021 audit book and turn to page 18, there's a calculation sheet in there, which basically does what they talked about here. And I'm trying to step through this, but I want y'all to see this with me step for step. If you also look on, can figure, flip back to page 24, you will see the audit spreadsheet on the balance sheet for the county. If you follow through with the calculations, it's cash and investments. If you look at the top line, it's $2,653,797. That's brought over here to the spreadsheet. It says minus liabilities. We're down about midway. It says liability accounts payable is $1,160,071. It's brought over to the spreadsheet. Minus encumbrances, we close out all the encumbrances, so we don't have any encumbrances at the end of the year. Minus deferred revenues. Deferred revenues is usually prepaid taxes, which is down a little bit farther, it's $39,800. And then, of course, I missed the restricted cash, which was $160,138. So those numbers come off the audit sheet, are plugged into this calculation sheet, and determines what our fund balance available for appropriation is. Now, if you look on page 24 and look at the total fund balance, we have like $5,395,000. Difference in those two numbers is what they consider restricted by state statute. Basically, money that's tied up, and we talked about this a lot in the past, like AR and all that does not come in by June 30th, gets tied up in that number. But my emphasis is back to this calculation of fund balance available for appropriation. That's cash on hand minus the liabilities. It gives you how much money you have that can be appropriated. Now, if you flip over to page six and look down at the bottom of the slide presentation, there's breakdowns of how you can separate that available fund balance. It can be restricted, committed, assigned, or unassigned. I think the confusion comes in when we look at our numbers and look at unassigned fund balance. Unassigned just means you have not committed to anything yet. But total fund balance is all that money that's in those categories. And when you have that number and you divide it by your expenses for the year, that gives you the percentage that the LGC is looking at, which in last year was 6.32, I believe it was.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to give a little bit of rundown of how this is calculated, because I know we had a lot of discussion about available fund balance versus unassigned fund balance.
Right.
And there's a little bit of distinction between the two. Any questions at the moment?
No. And also the other thing I like to add to that too, if your debt drops, your percentage can go up also.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Expenses.
Exactly. Right. So that's the deal. And that's one reason we cut and moved in that direction. So, anyhow.
Right. And that's why we got six versus at one.
Yes.
Well, more to it than that.
And getting some cash in that we've
been waiting for. Been waiting for 4 or 5 years. So
I just thought this was very handy to have, because it kind of breaks down a little bit and tells you how the different categories are set up and what they're running and stuff like that.
Are the unsigned funds actually working? So we know where we are now. what's your ballpark? I'm not holding you,
I'm glad you asked that, because I want to go back to page 2, slide 2.
What does it say? Finance officers that never
maximum
commit.
Maximum amount available does not change during the budget year. And I know what you asked me. You asked me to give a ballpark figure.
Yeah, I know. How much do we think we can make up? Can we get back?
I was hoping that we would get above. I asked him hoping we're going to get close to 10% that y'all have voted on. I actually was hoping we were going to get to the 8% last year. I fell a little bit short, but I again had some revenue that did not come in like expected, which causes problems. But with everything that I see going out of the pipeline now, excluding Tallgrass of Water, because I don't know what's going to happen with that when they finally start spending money. Everything else is kind of clearing the pipeline. So I feel like I'm getting all my stuff that I've been waiting years for out of the way.
What we've learned, one thing to commit on.
Yes.
But it's another thing to know when that reimbursement is going to come in order to count at the end of the year report.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So we've got to know that. We can't shoot ourselves in the foot and then have to make an excuse to the OGC. Well, it's still open. It didn't come in. We've got to know that. We have a pretty good idea, right? Before we spend the money. Because it comes down to the end of the fiscal year, right? Spend some money, and we know we're not going to get it back in time. I'd rather wait and hold it over to that.
And I completely agree. And unfortunately, some of what we experienced in the past, I mean, when you go 2 or 3 years waiting to get money, there's
right.
no way you can.
If you got a huge fund balance, 20%, that's got to
yeah, yeah, you wouldn't see that effect quite as much. But yeah, but when you're expecting the money to come in and it don't, and then the next year it still hasn't come in. That's tough.
I mean, well, one thing I looked at when you were doing this, I noticed it says funds that are non-committed, correct? Is what you use. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. At one time, they were including committed funds for fund balance. Isn't that correct?
I think that gets back to
Jeff
making
Best.
Sure we understand available funds versus committed, assigned, and unassigned. All of this is available fund, regardless of whether you assign it or not assign it or commit it. It's still part of the available fund balance. It just does not, if you get in there and start thinking about committed, I know the general consensus, if I commit it, I spend it. Or I have asked
or it's
going to
be spent.
It. But one of the things that I want to point out too is that if I can find it right quick. Your committed fund balance on page 7, the bottom, it says fund balance is committed by formal action by the governing board. Then it also says formal actions are required to undo any limitations. So even though you committed, y'all as a board can come back and say, we changed our mind, we won't use it. So that's the reason it's still looked at as being available fund balance. Even though you may commit it to something, it's still available fund balance.
Wait a minute. I know John, you were there, but
I was the one that brought it up.
But that is breaking out these categories. Those categories altogether is your available fund balance.
Can't change it.
Right.
If you don't break it out, you give a false impression of what.
Now you're that I agree with you, kind of, but it's not going to really change the percentage, and that's the thing I want to make sure we understood that even though the presentation was done differently, the available fund balance was the available fund balance, even though it was broken down in different categories or not broken down in different categories, it was still what you had available.
And the reason I kind of asked. Just yesterday about
Right, and that's the reason I have to come to y'all to get an approved budget amendment.
That's correct. Yes. And we need to know that as we go through the year, because what happens when an emergency comes, that we're going to have to spend. We need to know, you know, what we truly had. And yeah, we can change some things, but unless we did, the unrestricted is what we got to spend.
Yeah.
We need to understand that as well.
Good point. Well,
if we're going to make smart decisions and we make our decisions based on the information that we have. We don't need it sugarcoated. We need the facts. And if we don't have it, we need to be told.
Correct information gets good decisions.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
So to Commissioner Wesson's point, I mean, we've got to know what we've spent thus far. And if we consider, you know, our budget is very lean. So whatever we spend, we just got to focus on it's coming out of fund balance. And right now we don't have it.
Well, I try to come to make out. Sure whenever I do a budget amendment that's going to allocate fund balance, I definitely try to make sure y'all are aware of that.
Right.
You're right. You remember how many times it passed. Somebody came up and said, oh, well, we're like
lapped salaries.
More revenue coming in anyway. So we'll
make up for it. Lapped salaries. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Okay. Thanks.
Great job, William. I'd just like to add, commissioners, this is a really, really good presentation that the state, North Carolina State Office of State Surgery provided here. On pages 7 and 8, and William talked about it a little bit, I just want to point out that the definition of each of these different fund balances are here so that it's very easy to know what restricted is, what committed is, what assigned is, as well as unassigned. And so it spells it out exactly what each category is for. And like William said, all those together equal available fund balance. So good job, William. This is a great presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
man. And again, that was exactly what I asked for when I met with you and county manager. So thank you very much for grabbing that information for everybody. Even on an auditor's point.
It's good to bring something back with you when you go to a conference.
Okay. All right. It's 10:30 this time. Where did county attorney go?
He stepped out, and so until he comes back, it's perfectly okay. We're prepared to skip what he's going to talk about and go on to the next item. Yes, sir.
All right. Next thing we'll go to is Assistant County Manager Dave Scarborough, profit and loss statements for Water Department and non-emergency transport.
There are some sheets in your packet that have the profit and loss statements on there. So, Mr. Trent, I mean, this is something that you asked for, and what I'm going to do is provide you with the information. What you do with it once I give it to you, I don't have anything else other than here it is. So, where's the
goes back screen? To correct information?
It is correct information
and good decisions. All so, right. Go ahead.
My finance director reviewed it, and my county manager reviewed it, so it is correct information, and I'm not sure why it's not showing up on the screen.
Scott just asked, can you share your screen? Can you send David a request to share his desktop?
So, I mean, we can look at it this way if you'd like. While we're waiting on that, you should have two charts and two
spreadsheets. And again, everybody take notice that these two sheets of paper we have, one is for the Water Department, states at the very top, and one is for the Berkeley County non-emergency transport, which states at the top. So don't get them mixed up.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you go to Zoom.
Oh.
And then.
I don't necessarily have to show it on the screen if you want to, but basically, if you look at the first one, it's the P&L statement for water. Uh-huh. And this is a 3-year plus the current fiscal year through December of the revenues received and the monthly expenditures for each month for the entire year of 19, 20, and 21. And you'll see at the end of the fiscal year for each one in 19, we saw a loss, both 19 and 20, correct, William? Right. And so then in 21, fiscal year 21, you saw, which is when I believe the fees were adjusted, 21. And so that then in over the course of the year, you'll see that we had an increase of 100.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Yes.
On the full year for 2018 is what I'm looking at the very top. Is that correct? There was a loss of 164,000.
Yes.
Okay. You left that one out. And then we had in 19, a loss of 220,000.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then in 2020, we gained 113, which doesn't offset all the losses. Okay. And then it brings us to 2020.
Yeah. I have a question for you whenever you get to it. But just when I looked at this spreadsheet, something happens in April and May.
Yep.
That's always a huge deficit for. What is that?
It's the debt service.
Money coming in.
We pay all the debt loans and stuff for the water department.
And we know ahead what that is going to be, right?
It's budgeted for, yeah.
Right. Okay. So. I got you. That's what I wanted to know. Because when I see us ahead at 619,000,
go back and look in November. It also looks weird.
That's right.
We make our first payment,
yep.
Which is basically interest only.
Right.
The second payment comes near the end of the year, which is principal and interest.
Right. And so we know what those numbers are going to be.
Right.
So when we're looking at this and we see a 619,000, we know we got a part of that's going to be eaten up in that April and May, whatever, right?
Right.
So we can determine when we get close to that, especially like at the end of March, this is where we're likely to be, right? Because wherever we're at March, minus what we're likely to be in April and May, that's where we're going to end the year pretty much, right?
No.
You're pretty much if all everything's
runs. I'm just saying, yeah. No. So we get ahead knowing that there's going to be a hit for us at the end of the month. I mean, end of the year, April right. And May. Gotcha. Okay.
So don't be sure.
Yes, that's exactly right.
When were the rates adjusted in 21?
July 1st of 21.
Yeah, it's 21-22 year.
This year. Exactly. All right, now let me ask you a question, William. That $619,000 is what the prediction is, or?
That's through December of this fiscal year.
Okay, of what we think.
We'll make, we
no,
we have left.
We
have, no, we're going to get hit in left, April and May.
Yeah.
We're going to get
yeah.
Okay. Well, it looks like to me that so far for two, four, 6 months, we spent $839,000 right now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And we got $619,000 lasts us out to 2, 4, 6 more months.
Well, each year we're going to be building up more revenue as it comes in.
Okay.
Yeah. But
keep in mind, you can't look at it just double and say this is what we need.
I understand.
In the years, I'm going to have this.
No, I understand all that.
Yeah.
Just make sure everybody is following this
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I got like 1, 2, 3, 4. I could have about $600,000 or more in debt payments
For April and May.
Yeah.
Right.
But look like to me, we're still going to have a profit.
Well, we're hoping we will.
We will have a profit. The way the trend going now, there will be a profit in June.
You're thinking normally it's like a surplus, but not a profit.
Yeah, right. Surplus.
It's going to go back into their fund.
I'll right, it go back in fund balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though this is a profit and loss statement, I realize that, you know. Okay, and then so in the other spreadsheet, did you have a question?
Thank you.
Okay, and the other spreadsheet is the non-emergency transport, and there's a chart that goes along with it as well. And this one is more challenging, and I'll try to explain it, and William's going to stay right behind me in case I can't. But we have set expenditures every month, or we spend a certain amount of expenditures every month for this. But as far as non-emergency transport goes, they bill Medicaid, they bill the customer, and they get so much revenue in each month that they don't get a penny for penny on what you spend, you know, what they charge versus what they receive.
Right.
Because of the billing cycle, we can get money up to 3 months behind, or up to 365 days behind when the service is provided.
And I would like to say Dave Pickering, with the company that does the billing, has advised us of that many times, okay?
Mm-hmm. And he's the one who's actually provided the billing information for the revenues received on these sheets. This came from a breakdown that he provided us. So you'll notice that there are months where the revenues are very positive because we got a large amount in, and you'll see there are times where the revenues are very much on the wrong side of how much we spent that month.
Right.
But that's because we don't know from month to month how much revenue we're going to receive based on the billing that comes in.
Right.
What you will see is at the end of it, you'll see full year, and then you'll see year-end adjustment. Because of what I just told you about how we don't see the money come in at certain times, sometimes it comes in 365 days later. At the end of the year, what William does in finance is take all the accounts receivable and moves them back into the account they need to be into. And so what you'll see at the end of the first full year, you see we lost minus $55,000. But after he came in and made the year-end adjustments, we actually ended up making $114,000 from that. That's done after the accounts receivables are all put into place. So let's say it's kind of a difficult thing to look at and say, oh, we're really not making money on this because we're seeing all these negatives. But then you'll see at the end of the year when we've got all our monies in and we're able to transfer it back into the accounts that it has been a positive thing.
And what question is it, David? So I understand that, right? But how much of that is within our control, William, to keep that number as small as possible, or is it just out of our
control? It's out of our control.
It's totally out of our
control. No, it ain't our control.
I mean, the only thing we can do is try to make sure everything gets turned in, it needs to be turned in properly or whatever.
Right.
But the decision maker is the one that come out and ask for the information or just put it in. So that's kind of out of our control.
Okay.
What is in our control is monitoring our expenditures.
Right.
And an example of that, if you look at FY21, you'll see at the end of the year, we had a minus $155,000. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the expenditures from year to year for the past several years compared to that, Mitch and his group have done a very good job of reducing their expenditures to whatever they can to try and offset this. We anticipated 21 being a bad year based on COVID and the number of calls that we weren't getting.
And I'd like to also add to that, we were kept up to date that the call volume was dropping extensively, okay, with non-emergency. And when you don't have the call volume, it's no different than running hypothetically a lumber company and your business is falling off and you got to deplete the inventory to create cash, okay? And you're always trying to keep up with that to deplete it as possible to put cash back into the bank due to the facts there. And again, you're always going to run behind until you finally stop. And here's the same situation.
That's how we can control it. And that's the only way we can really control it, is that as we see revenues going down, is to look at how ways we can reduce our expenditures.
And, and revert this back. That's people, hours, things of that nature. Okay. That's the only way you're going to cut the budget. And of course, not having the trips, you got fuel expenses that are going to be saved, things of that nature. So that goes back in, no different than cutting inventories in the lumber business. So,
and that motive care contract that you approved just last night, that will help us, because that's collecting money for us and getting it on hopefully on a more regular basis. But
right.
So
I just want to add, looking forward to what we got. So this is basically nearly a half a year. If you doubled up the amount for 22 year, it looks like we're starting to increase again.
Right.
Which is a good sign.
Yep.
However, I want to caution everybody, with everything that's going on right now, I don't know how long this goodness is going to last. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Epidemic type.
That's correct.
So what I'm hearing is from that, that's a true representation of what happened.
Yes, that's correct.
But one that we have on that may not necessarily be a true representation, because we may not have collected money.
So that's very correct.
Representation to December of this fiscal year, yes, sir.
But you also got to look at 21 is not going to be a correct as a typical normal year, 18, 19, things like that, due to COVID, because everything fell off. If you don't have call volume, you don't have cash.
But Greg,
I know we got that here early. Would that be
well, that goes back to just stating revenues. And what we're looking at is revenues versus what is actually collected, because that's what your payables are. Now, if you want to do what, well, that's what Dave Pickering gives us, straight what revenues is, okay? Yeah. Not what's collected. He gives a percentage of what's being collected. And that's the deal.
I agree, too.
The billing would be good. However, the problem comes in with we don't know if we can collect that amount.
Right, but what I'm just saying, it doesn't give you an accurate representation of how much money you have, but I think it maybe
I'm sorry, but I'm just getting feedback that you don't want to hear.
Okay.
They help us in measuring what we're actually doing,
how we're performing.
Yeah, but the reason that works, William, is because, you know, even with this present thing, we don't know what's going to hit in terms of expenditures anyway. So but we do have a pretty good understanding of what our collection percentage is.
Right.
So using that build is probably a truer, you know, rationale for looking at this, right? So, but one of the things you said, Greg, I thought I heard you say was 21 what we're showing first for the first 6 months, was that different from what we showed in 20? It isn't, because we adjusted at the end of the year. These numbers are not adjusted.
The January 21s aren't adjusted.
Are not
the 20s
adjusted.
Are adjusted.
No, right? They're not.
The 20s are not adjusted.
No. They're adjusted at the end of the year.
The end of the fiscal year. They're not.
So the ninth. So the ninth. That's why I use. That's why I used 18 for an example. I went all the way back to 18. I said, for instance, 18. That's an accurate representation of what we did month
that's
to month.
That is an accurate representation.
21 is also accurate.
Up to date.
Well, I'm saying it's not an error, but what I'm saying is not. It's just representing what we collected, and not what we build.
Well, that's all this profit and loss is doing for each month. Is
it's
showing
collected.
How much we spent that month and how much revenue we collected.
I understand
that month.
But you go back and make the corrections at some point
at the end.
Was made at the end of the year, not in the month to month.
Right.
So what he's saying, July of 18 on fiscal year 19, though that first 6 months in 2018 would be correct because it's been corrected with the revenues that have come in.
No, it's only correct.
Numbers are not going to change. The adjustments made on the revenue at the very end of the year.
See that last column to the right where it says year end AR adjustment. He took that full year column and adjusted it.
You don't adjust
right. Monthly.
You don't go back and adjust. So we can't really measure what we've done monthly then.
What do you mean you can't measure monthly? It's showing here on the revenue what we received and how much.
What we received, but we can't measure what we've actually built. We can't measure what we've actually, what our business was, what we've actually done.
We actually have, there's a way in the reports that he gives us to show what we could have potentially received that month.
Right. Yes, what would be.
It's not a clear, it's not, for the purposes of what I provided here, that's not what he asked for.
Yeah, but the points we're taking that.
We could go back and do right. another report that shows you the services that we provided and the amount that we billed for that month to get right. comparison. Yes, but that's not going to be a clear depiction of what we spent.
Right, and you're right, but you're right. So we, what we really need is be able to have both, so we can see what the total build was, right? Because I can't really see that from here. You know, we don't know what they just. But if we had the total bill, to his point, we have a better idea of what that adjustment's going to be.
That's my
right.
Yeah,
because we know what our collection percentage is. Okay.
We can get a good estimate, but we even after, and Mitch, I think if you're online here, if you want to speak out, I mean, you can on this, but my understanding of the way this billing works is even if we say we sent $100,000 to the billing company, we're not, it's not saying we're going to get $100,000
back.
You have to take the billing as a contractor yeah. to get whatever we anticipate.
That's correct. Yeah. So if you had could do that, right?
I mean, like I said, we can do that. That was not
a yeah, big deal. Wasn't what they asked.
I'm here, David, if you got anything you need.
All right. Well, have you heard what we've been saying?
Yeah. One of our biggest challenges talking about the revenue stream is that every 60 days, our patient care reports for their medical history has to be updated. So if you have a rider that rides, you know, they ride with us all year long. Every 60 days, we have to update the paperwork. When that paperwork goes to Palmetto or either goes to the new contract, which would be through Motive Care, it's got to be reviewed again. So that 60 days, they're riding 3 days a week, twice a day. I mean, all of that has to sit there till all of that paperwork gets reviewed again. And that's really where our holdup is through this pre-approval process that now they put in place, and they put that in place back in 17 or 18. And that really holds everything up while you're seeing your revenues come in so late. And it's hard to make those projections like y'all are talking about. We can't collect until we have their medical records in place and approved.
Your point, we can come back and try and put something together that shows you what you're asking for. The purpose of this, that's not, I'm just trying to show act.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So, okay. For my
yeah.
Summary, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this is what I want to say.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have for you on that. So, any comments, questions, other questions?
No. It doesn't appear that we are where we are supposed to be, where we set out to be. When I got elected and started talking about, you know, our projections for the coming years, it doesn't appear that we're there. For some of y'all that have been here.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that, because the only year on here that we have the negative is with the pandemic.
Right.
So that's out of our control. But every other year, we've been better than we expected to be. We've been profitable. On the non-emergency.
Mitch, what year did we start non-emergency?
13.
Right. We had a 14 we started, and it was a piece a year. I think it was 6 months or 7 months. And
oh, so then 2015 was our actual full year?
Yeah, but that's on an entire – see, we've changed software 3 times since then, trying to get everything straight for this, like I say, what we're doing for these pre-approvals, because we've been changing with the environment that we're working in. But, you know, we can have conversations with David and pull all that old information if we have to show a trend that far out.
I don't know if you really need to, but I mean, this is what I was looking for, is what actual collections were, and what actually, not just revenue stream. If you're going to pull revenue stream in, it's probably going to be higher than what this is if you're going to go off of that. And I think that's what Ms. Lee's looking at. And that's the reason I want this broke down this way, because this is actual collections for the year. Okay. And what that shows is, and also cost of what the budget was, correct? And that is what the deal is. And that's exactly what I want to see. And it shows profitability in 2 years. And then in 21, you know, we have what we have. I'm sure everybody else has shown losses in their companies just for the sheer fact volume goes down. And when volume goes down, Mr. Cooper, revenue and collected revenue goes down also. Is that not correct?
Yes, sir. But we can show you, and I can work on it today if you'd like. We can show you that this year our call volume is going up, and it's going to mimic more of 2019 and 2020. Currently, right now, our biggest problem is we don't have enough trucks and enough people to run the call volume we're being requested to run. That's a good problem to have. So it is going back up. You know, 21 was a horrible year for a lot of folks, but
yeah,
we are in the upswing now.
And the other thing I like to bring up too, you got to look at your costs, monthly expenditures also. When you're talking, you know, July of 2020, your expenditures is $37,000 and the expenditures of 19 is $69,000. You can see where management has been doing what they're supposed to be doing by cutting costs. And that's the same thing I was saying as far as cutting inventory, okay, and returning it back. So in speaking, you've done what you're supposed to do as far as being a manager to the best of your ability, okay? And I don't think anybody has any control or what we're doing with the pandemic here and all that kind of stuff. So I'm pleased for what I'm seeing, okay? And that's where I'm at right now.
I wasn't questioning the validity of this at all. This is actually, I mean, this gives you a bottom line, and it's very useful. And this is the bottom line.
This is, there's no more accuracy than this right here. Okay. And the reason I'm saying that, because they go 90 to 120 days on a collection, and we get to June, and it may be September or August before that's in there. We weren't getting that information before. What we were doing was having revenue stream. Revenue stream is just going to show a higher balance, cash flow at the end of the year, okay? But it's not as accurate as this. This right here is a P&L. This is actually profit and loss is what this is, and it shows total amount of sales, total amount of cash flow as far as collected, and that's where it's at. So if you look at the year end, that's where you're going to end up at. No different than any company or business I've been involved with. You're going to have a good January, a good February, a good March, a good April, and then in June, you may have a loss, okay? But then at the end of the year, you calculate what your profits are. You divide back into it, and I haven't done that yet on this right here. But right now, you know, I'm looking we got total volume of going to 19, 20, we got what, 800,000 as far as expenditures. We collected right at $200,000. 20% would be 160,000. You're running about 25% return on your money, okay? That's better than a lot of businesses. Net and capitalization businesses are typically going to be somewhere between 10 and 12%. So that's how I look at it. And that's how I see this. Okay. And that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
John, let me say this. I understand clearly what you're saying, and this is what we needed to see. But I also hear what Greg is saying, that we need to be able to see the trajectory of our billing also, because that really tells us something that this doesn't show.
Tell me what you mean by trajectory of billing.
Right. We need to see how does this year's billing today compare to prior year's billing, even though it's been because the adjustment at the end is not something that we see until the very end.
But you're looking at what the actual billing collection is at that stage.
Without adjustments.
From a management standpoint, as you said, Ron, it just gives you a clearer picture of what's going on.
Yeah, we'd have a better idea of fiscal
exactly.
year 21.
This gives you a clearer picture, correct?
5,000 in the hole, we'd have a better idea of how much.
Bottom line, I mean, as far as
that's exactly right.
We don't know what that is until after the year's already over. But when we see the trajectory of the actual bill, that tells, and if we had that comparison to prior years,
That figure can still change because we're still getting revenue fiscal year 21.
No question.
Would be my thought process.
It is, and you're correct, Ms. Lee. I'm good with it. I'm fine with it. Now, if anybody else wants the information gathered, please say
Mitch can do it. I don't know a single business that only measures the performance trend by profit and loss, especially when you have to do an adjustment at the end of the year. If you don't have to do adjustments at the end of the year to the degree that we have, then that's great. But you also need to see your billing trend in order to be able to know if you're running at target, because what was the expectation? And are we making that expectation? Or are we actually billing less or more?
Well, then actually asking for is something different than I asked for, what you're asking for is basically you want to see if the billing department is keeping up with the billing itself and the trend in that, correct?
Like Greg said, not just what the billing department's doing, what are we actually,
billing?
What? Yeah, exactly.
But wouldn't that be the same revenue stream that Dave Pickering gives us? I mean, that's revenue stream. You bill it, and that's what the revenue stream is that comes in.
But we don't have.
I mean, if I'm missing your point, somebody let me know.
Show me the comparison of that year to year. I've never seen that, and I don't see it month to month.
Well, if you want to look at it compared to year to year, I mean, I think it can be done very easily. I mean, but that's just revenue stream.
Does anybody remember what our collection rate is? Mitch, you may be able to answer 72%. That question.
William, you walked in here. I assume you got something you want to comment about.
I just want to say, based on listening to y'all talk, I was just wondering, if we went back and took the billed amount and put it on each month, I think one of the things that would help is you could see if you're billing month to month to month the same way, or if it's fallen off or if it's increased. And you can also compare it to what we actually collected through the month to see if we're collecting 50%, where we might have collected 60%.
Exactly.
Well, as I said, and I'll go back to what Dave said, we're collecting 78% is what he's coming up with. Okay. That was what his number was. He would rather see it in the 80s. Okay. Now, if we want to go through that exercise, that's just something else for y'all to do. And if that's what you want to do, and if that's what the commissioners would like, I don't have an issue with that. But that'd be the same thing that Dave Pickering's been telling us, that we're collecting, 76, 78%? Is that correct, Mr. Cooper?
I don't remember what he said.
He got off.
I don't know quite that much.
I'm here.
Okay. Didn't Dave say we're collecting somewhere around 76, 78% last time he was here?
Yeah, I think it's between 72 and 78.
Okay.
And that all depends on that paper.
It was around 82, 85, somewhere right in that area?
Repeat that.
But he would be happier if it was in the 80s?
We definitely want to be in the 80s, no doubt. Yes, sir.
Okay. We know what it is year to date, but to William's point, and William said it exactly right, if you're looking at it on a month-to-month basis, you can compare in real time what you are. Without having that, you're waiting to the end of the year to say, exactly. So, I mean, it's not a big amount of work. And plus, it's just putting the numbers there for us.
When you look at it and you see something low, you may have a reason for it being low. Like Mitch said, it could be the six-month period where everything got to be reviewed again. So you may not be getting a revenue in that month. So that might look low that month. Next month may look really high because we finally started getting it back in.
And it doesn't mean business has been any more or less necessarily. And without that, we don't have any way of knowing.
Oh, you have a problem with staff and people are out.
This is the most accurate right here.
Right? People are out because of staff. And so your revenue is going to be lower that month. You have a reason for understanding it.
So yeah, we can do that. We can get with Dave and we can add that information so that you can see it.
It just doesn't sound like it'd be, and maybe I'm wrong, it doesn't sound like it'd be really complicated.
No, it's not. He's got the information, but he gives it to us also when he comes in here to talk to us. But that's fine.
But that's twice a year.
And I think you gave
I talked to Juan about let's doing it every 3 months.
Is what I'm going to provide you is what Dave provided to us.
That's right.
It shows that because I
as I said,
and that's all we need. That's all we need.
The wheel, but I can put all that together.
That's all we need.
And that's what I said. Dave Pickering always does that and gives it to us when he comes in and gives it to us. And we had a discussion. I think Commissioner Weston and I discussed with Commissioner Weston, we really need to do this every quarter. Okay. I think he came back and said we should do it every month. But if we can do it, that's fine. But every quarter, would be fine with me.
The key is we already have the numbers. All we're saying is put them on a line. Simple thing. So we can see it. Not any new calculation. Not any.
Well, I didn't want anybody to think that we haven't been getting that number. We do have that number. He's been giving it to us.
John, he gives it to us. We only see it, like Tammy said, a couple times a year.
I understand.
So if we're going to do this,
We'd love to be. I think it's important to see it on a monthly.
I'm not saying we don't need to put it on there. What I'm trying to say is we've been getting it. I want the general public to know we get that information also. So that's the deal.
So how much of this $155,000 that's in the negative for last year are we expecting to come in? I mean, will that number, how much will that number change? Because that's a huge number.
I can't answer that. The $155,000 that we lost last year in non-emergency transport, are we anticipating any more revenue coming up for that? I don't think we are. I think that's just the final.
Yeah, COVID. Yeah. So that's part of that profit and loss that we can take from the ARP money?
Yep. Yeah.
That's the purpose of it.
And that's the reason this is so important, because this is something we've got to plan on for the following year. This is what we've got to start thinking about. And that's the reason the P&L is so important.
If we don't use ARP money, where's that money coming from? I mean, it came out of fund balance.
You're exactly right.
That's right.
And that's the reason I said what I said the other day. And that's one reason when I turn around and say a P&L statement is the most important thing, is because if we had a P&L statement 2 years ago, we would have known where the water department was at, would we not? Is that not correct? We know where the water department was at. But no, we didn't have that information, did we? We knew nothing about it.
I think you're right. I think this is a the question is all this absolutely essential. You've got to have
it. You've got to have it.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, because we would not, we would have known what direction we were heading in the water department if we had a P&L statement, okay? And we've never had it, never been supplied.
And to your point, Tim, with the ARP dollars come in, you know, the hope is that we'll get those funds prior to the end of this fiscal year. There's no guarantee on that.
I heard January, but I mean, they're not here yet, evidently.
Not yet. We haven't received ARP funds for the year yet, right?
No.
Right.
The other half.
It was like May.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's no guarantee.
Somewhere around the line, I read January, but
we'll see, but no, we haven't seen.
I heard that.
Do so we have to request?
We're going
to
add. We're going to add the other line item that the other two commissioners would like to have, or three or four of us would, and the rest, everybody finds this beneficial, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, I do, because it keeps us on top of what we're doing and where we're at, and that's the deal.
Okay.
And we won't fall in the same situation we have with the water department. Okay. Everybody good?
Everybody good. Need the L&P.
Okay.
P&L.
You got anything else, Mr. Scarborough? Is that it?
Pardon me?
You got anything else, or is that it?
Not for this, sir.
Okay.
For, I'm not
going to
go very far.
Let's move into the fun thing for 5 or 6 years we've been trying to get done, called the tax card breakdown.
Okay. So
you're back on deck again.
Let me. And I've actually got my cohorts with me this time. Gentlemen, y'all can come closer if you want.
There was, there were.
I get the sticks out, everybody.
All right. Take a 2 minute breather while I figure out how to get all the transfer over there. Okay, so before we get started on what I want to do is make sure that we are all on the same page as far as understanding what it is we're hoping to accomplish from this. And so what we understand this is that the idea is that we have a tax, Berkshire County has a tax bill, has a tax rate of 0.865. And the question is, first off, what is paid for with those property taxes? And secondly, how do we compare to other counties? Uh-huh. And in comparison to other counties, the intent from this meeting or from this is to be able to perhaps separate the various services that the county provides onto the tax bill and demonstrating the tax impact of each of those services. if point in time, and make sure. Okay. As far as we are, as far as staff is concerned, we're not opposed to doing this. But there are a lot of questions that we've come up with, and some things that we need to resolve before we can do this. What I want to do first is lay out a couple of some background material. If you'll allow me about 5 minutes, just to kind of lay out some background material. What I want to talk to you about is our property tax for Bertie County pays for about 52% of our operating fund. The other 48% comes from sales tax and other fees and charges that we provide. Bertie County does not identify any specific costs that are associated with the property tax, meaning we haven't identified anything that is paid for just with property tax versus any other revenues that come in. We collect all of our revenue, property tax, and other fees and charges and they all go into a pot. And as our bills come forward and as our things that we pay for it out of that. It could be property tax, it could be that. The commissioner's budget comes out of that pot.
Could be the garbage, could be the landfill, convenience sites.
Nothing specifically tied to anything on the property tax. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that we're clear about that. I'm going to show you three comparison counties because the ones we've talked about in the past several weeks. One of them is Hertford County, and what you'll see, there's actually, Commissioner Weston is looking at, there is a sheet in your folder that has this a little bit more clearly. But I just wanted to show you Hertford County, their tax rate has both a tax rate, a water bill, the water bill's on there, their convenience center site, their landfill operations, and a fire tax is on their tax bill. Northampton is the same way. They have a tax fund. They have a general county tax, the fire district fee, the solid waste fee, and then obviously, municipalities if they're part of the municipality. Martin County has the same thing. They have a fire district, a county tax, and a garbage pickup. I'll talk about that in a little bit more in a moment. Then, as you'll see, Bertie County just has the tax. So this spreadsheet is what I want to show you on this, and basically a comparison between the two. Hertford County has a 84-cent tax rate. They also have a fire tax of 5 cents on the property tax, and they have a solid waste fee. What I want to point out from this, though, is, their general fund budget is $27 million. Their property tax revenue is $14 million. So what that basically saying is what I told you a minute ago about Bertie. They're about 53% of their property tax base for their general fund budget. I also point out that they're using fund balance this year to help offset their general fund. So what you'll see there is that they also have a fire district fund and a solid waste fund. So the fees that go into the fire tax go directly into a fire services fund. That's the only thing that supports it. Same thing with the solid waste fee. They charge a solid waste fee. That solid waste fee goes into a solid waste fund. All their solid waste expenditures come out of that fund. They don't come from property tax or anything else. The exact same thing for Northampton County. Their tax rate is 905. They're actually using, they're about 58% of their general fund is covered by property tax. They are also using fund balance to help support their general fund. And they have a fire district and a solid waste fund separate that goes just for the fees that they charge from their tax bill. Martin County is a little bit different in that if they do have a fire tax, it goes into a fire fund. Their solid waste fee is basically a pass-through. Waste Industries collect garbage and recycling for all of Martin County. They charge a fee. It goes on the water bill. It comes out of the tax bill. It comes out, it's paid for. And it goes with a few small administrative costs that stays with the county. It goes straight over to Waste Industries. So it's a pass-through. And again, Bertie County, I just want to go ahead and point this out because I did. You'll notice 52% of our property tax is covered from the general fund, but we're not using any fund balance appropriation. I just want to point that out.
Yes.
But yeah. We don't have a fire district right now. So we don't have a fire district fund. We do have a, we do pay money to the different fire departments in this county, but we don't have any. It's a set amount that we've identified, $360,000, divided into all 12 of them. And we don't have a solid waste fund, but we do have a solid waste budget for the convenience centers, which is roughly $512,000 this year. So that being said, what we've talked about and where we are with this is that unless there are several challenges that we have to doing this. First off, we need to identify what areas that you're most interested in seeing separate on the tax bill. We could do the, I mean, the fire tax is $360,000, and I think that's roughly, don't hold me to this, two and a half cents for the general budget. I've got a spreadsheet of it somewhere. Let me pull it up. But let's just start with this for one thing. The solid waste split fee. Each year, it goes up roughly 3% based on the consumer index and what the contract that we have with Waste Industries, with Republic, excuse me. So that's not going to be a set tax fee. Every year is going to go up roughly 3% until 2025. So that's a challenge we're having. If we're going to separate that into the tax bill, how do we determine what that rate's going to be and what that fee is going to be? Same thing for the fire district. We are doing a fire study. That's 9 months out before we get to the point where we even know what kind of attack it might be. And then we have to present to the commissioners in the next, not this coming fiscal year budget, the following fiscal year budget. So that's something that would be predetermined once we get to that point.
Yeah, but David, on the solid waste fee, we are putting into the budget that 3%. Then next year. So we do know what the amount is.
We know what the amount is, and we budget for that, but the money comes out of just normal
operating. I understand that, but we do know what, and we can say this is X percentage of whatever. And the same thing is true for the money that we give to the fire stations.
Yes.
That amount is solid. It's in the budget, right?
Yep.
And we do know what impact that has against the tax rate.
That's correct.
Citizens don't know that. That's the whole point.
If I could just interject, go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
We don't know the exact impact it has on the property tax because it's a 50 in theory, and this is a big theory, okay? If you look at everything that we spend in our operating fund, in our general budget, it's $26 million, it's $24 million this year in the general fund budget. 52% of that is paid for with property tax.
Right.
So in theory,
you take 52% of that.
52% of
exactly
the tax rate.
Yeah.
So it yes, but we don't have any way of saying that the $512,000 we budgeted this year for solid waste fees or for the solid waste budget came completely from the tax rate, the property tax income revenue that we're bringing in, or if it came from sales tax this year, because that's where the money was available to pay it. It just came out of the general fund operating revenues. So we can tell you what it would be, what the tax rate might be on that $512,000. It's $139,000 for every penny, roughly. So $512,000, which is about 5 cents, 4 to 5 cents, 4 and a half cents. If you were doing it penny for penny, but again, only saying solid waste is paid for property tax. And we don't have any, in our budget, we have nothing that is specifically addressing just by property tax.
So if we took 52% of those two expenses, equated that to what that is in tax rate percentage, why would that not be as close as you could humanly get, probably get?
Why would that not be?
Why wouldn't that not be an accurate figure to as close
it
as you could
be? It would be an accurate figure of what what the cost would be. Yes.
Right. So that so then citizens can see this is the overall tax rate. But there's also a rate for these other two things that you are paying, right?
Yes, Commissioner Wilson, if I can interject here. And great job, David. I just want to make sure that we're clear here.
You're swearing a little bit.
So
hey, did a good job.
That was a good job.
So to your point, yes. And if the question is, can we tell citizens, you know, the money that we spend on solid waste, or any other service that we provide, we can tell them what that amount is, and we can tell them what the penny equivalent is to our tax rate.
Yes.
Okay. We can do that. However, what I'm understanding is that we want to adjust our tax bill, meaning that we want to, my understanding, we want it to reduce the tax rate, and then on the tax bill also come up and say, pretty much charge a fee for solid waste, a fee for EMS, and a fee for fire. Yeah, those are two different things. And based on what, you know, the board wants to do, we can do that. But I just want to make that clear. It's one thing to inform the public of what we're spending, and again, what that equivalent is to a penny on our tax rate, right? But it's different if we want to say we want to actually enforce a tax for solid waste, or if we want a fire tax, or if we want a tax for EMS. Those are two separate things. So we just need some clarification on where you want us to go.
I can't speak for anybody else other than myself, right? Mm-hmm. But because we don't have a fire tax,
yes, sir,
we can't do that. But we can, I would think, still show what the fee, what the cost of that is, that from reduction of that quote to citizens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing would be true with solid waste. I think I'm not looking to say, oh, we're going to bill you that way. The citizens need to know. And the reason that they do need to know, mm-hmm. because when those costs of those things go up, mm-hmm. they need to know that that's what caused the overall rate to go up.
And that's exactly what I said in the meeting with you, and yeah. William, is that it gives everybody an idea. Hypothetically, if you turn around and take one of our most expensive departments is 911, right? Okay. Emergency services. This year here, we gave a pay increase, correct? Okay. I think the people of Bertie County deserve to know why. And that this is why, if there is going to be a tax increase, that we gave this and they see where that budget line item that costs them or cost is gone up, because it has. And it's going to go up more next year. Where do you know that? Because of the way we did this, correct? And when we're depending on, what'd you call it, ARP money? Okay. If we supplemented the budget $400,000, in 2 years, we're not going to have that $400,000. So where does that come from? I think that Bertie County citizens need to know exactly what paramedic level emergency services cost. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were running into an issue, Ron and I have talked about this considerably, and the rest of the commissioners, people wanted to know why. We can't give them a pay increase, okay? So we can get more people on board.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's because this is what the budget is in June when we set it this year, okay? This is what the numbers are, and this is what they read.
And okay? another great example, David, something that you're working on, if we decide to, quote, go to a fire district tax, that's going to cost X, right?
That's right.
We need to be able to say the increase in your, quote, that may affect overall tax rate is because we chose to do this. But if we don't do that, if we don't have it broken out to show citizens, they don't have a clue why the tax rate went on.
Okay.
I thought I heard you, maybe you didn't say it, but you alluded to it, that we can't just put on the tax card the fee for mm-hmm. without it being an actual tax.
Yes. Yes.
We can't just that's, put it there that this is what fire's costing me. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
But yes. And that's where I was going next. There's a way
make sure Mike is on. There's a way for us to get the information to citizens if you all want to inform the citizens, but without actually going through the steps and creating the taxes that we're talking about, then I don't think the showing it on the tax bill is the way to do it. But by all means, we can give that information to citizens.
Well, my question is this.
Yes.
For example, emergency services.
Yes.
Martin County hasn't got paramedic level, right? Mm-hmm. Hereford County ain't got paramedic level, right? I'm sure the cost of their doing business is a heck of a lot cheaper than ours. And I think it's justifiable for these things to be on that card where it's spelled out.
Yeah. Now, maybe I'm misunderstanding something. Mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting change the tax rate.
And neither am I.
The card could show the tax rate is 86.5. But then below that, here is the solid waste. Here is the fire, what we're paying, right? And so people see what the cost of those particular items are that are in that 86.
In order for me to do that, go to the mic, speak to you.
In order for me to do that, I have to have an actual rate in the system. I actually have to have a fee in the system. When we send our data to the printer to print these, there's a format that we have to follow. What you're talking about is not set up.
Oh, I understand that, Joe. No.
Fire tax.
I get that.
So the easiest way right now, until you go through the whole process, would be to add an insert in with the tax bill.
Wait a minute, Joe. I understand you could do that. But if you know what the 52.2%, mm-hmm. right? Why couldn't you take the 52.2%? And
that's not in our data. That's not in our software in order for the vendor to pull that to put on the tax bill.
And that's not it. That's a difficult thing to create.
Apparently, yes. Because it's you're going to have to reconfigure the software the way it is right now, but it's not set up for that. And I'm not talking about just us, it's other counties as well. But when you look at those other counties that are up there that have those taxes, that is completely different. You do your fire study, you come back to me with a tax, I can establish fire.
I understand because that's built into the software package that creates it. But you're saying it would be difficult to know what that cost is, which we do, right, ahead of time, and to take 52.2% of that and simply print that there below the tax rate.
Now, your solid waste
fee.
How are you coming up with that fee?
Well, we know what it is in the budget. It's already there.
Who's getting charged that solid? Is every single
the households here in Berkeley County?
It's not about an individual person. We're trying to tell the county citizens what is paid for out of that tax rate and what those things are.
Right. The easiest way you're going to do that is an insert until we actually establish that.
You know, the other day when we talked about this, William said, well, I can get you the budget number, what we spent.
Yeah.
Okay. And $1.6 million hypothetically comes up to 13 cents. Okay. 13 cents. Then that 13 cents is sit there for EMS. Okay.
But it can go EMS. On the insert. It cannot go on the tax card is what he's trying to tell us.
But again, that day we discussed this, you said, as long as you can get the number, you can get it on the tax card.
As long as you set it up the way it's supposed to be set up. I mean, not.
Well, that's the reason we have management.
Right. I mean, like a fire tax. You've got to go through a process to actually establish that.
Tax. We've never even established that we're going to do a fire tax. We got a study being done, but we also know we got $360,000 of taxpayers' money that's going to all the fire departments that is established already. Okay.
I can't key that in as a tax to show up on the card itself.
What?
To split it out. Just like.
Why couldn't you split it up? Why can't it be split out, William?
But we're not going to say it's a tax. That's the whole point. If you're right, if you put it on there and say it's a tax, but that's not what I want to say. I want to be able to just set citizens know on the card the cost of these items that go into a paid for out of.
My understanding
is insert.
On the tax bill itself, the only thing he can put on the tax bill are actually
a tax or a fee. Exactly.
That's all he can put on the tax bill.
Right.
He can't break it down any to informational purposes.
That's what we put the budget online for that particular.
Nobody reads it.
Oh, I know. That's why an insert.
Other ways that the information
we're talking about. Look, I got property in three counties, and my tax bills are different every single one. So there can be things that can be put on the tax bill
if it's done the correct way. I mean, just like look at Hertford, Northampton County up here is a perfect example.
But I'm not going with you, but I'm not looking to call it a tax. Nobody.
It doesn't matter. I have to key in either a tax or a fee to show up on that card on it. When we look at our property tax system, it's either a tax or a fee.
Right.
And I can't just go in there and throw a number off the wall to show up on the
tax. And when you call it,
why can't we convert it? Why couldn't it be converted? If you know what the budget number is, why can't it be converted?
Right.
Well, why can they? So if we convert it,
because they've got it set up in a separate fund.
Jody, what I'm saying is it doesn't matter. If we turn around and convert it, Jody, the point I'm making is this is management, okay, that needs to set things up and get it organized to have it happen. And if we turn around and take the budget and convert it to that fund, then that's what we can do.
Okay, let me ask the question. Has anybody, if we decide to go with the fire tax, has anybody done any research on what that actually means? Are we going to have legislative approval to have that tax put on our, have an actual fire tax?
There is a process that does have to be followed. It has to be a public hearing. Mm-hmm. It has to be approved by the voters.
Not the district.
And then the commissioners can go through and do that. But it doesn't have to go to legislation.
Okay, good.
Right.
So at that point, I think that Greg will be presenting it far.
Okay, so out of those three counties, Hertford, Northampton, Martin, and us, what number is actually published for the, like, folks that are looking to move into those counties or businesses that are looking to move into those? What number, what tax number?
The property tax is being posted. And if you were to look at an area, you'd get there, if there's a fire district, you would have that property, that's an assessed value on the property tax. And any fees that are associated with it as well. That's what's on my Wake County bill that I get, that's what's on Martin County's, where you can get, that's.
So you're saying the 52% for Berkeley County or the 86.5%?
86.5%.
Is being printed.
86 is property. If you pull up Bertie County property tax, it's going to show 86.5 cents. Okay, if you pull up Hertford County, I'll use them as an example. It's going to show 82 cents. Okay,
or 84 for property tax.
84. I'm sorry. Okay, so in turn, and then underneath it, you've got additional fee for garbage, additional tax for fire. Okay. Which, if you break all that down, adds what, Jody? You and I figured it that day. Another 28 cents or something like that?
Just over a dollar.
Like $1.28, I think, is what it came up to.
I think that may be your handwriting. That maybe $1.32.
That may be Northampton. I don't know. But I knew it was in the 120s, I think.
Yeah.
But you double-checked me.
Right.
You double-checked me. I double-checked it. You double-checked it again. And that's what it came up to. Okay. Right. So that's what the actual amount of money everybody's paying a year on their piece of property. Is that not correct?
Correct.
Okay. But that's not spelled out. Okay.
See, the thing, Jody, is that I clearly hear you that if it's a tax, your system now can break it out as a tax, right? And show it. But that's not the question for me, because I don't want to show it as a tax because it's not a tax.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if you show it 86.5 and then, I don't know what the limitations are on your software, but if below that, there could just be a line to say additional items paid for out of that 86 cents. Here you have the solid waste X. Here you have the fire, not a tax, X. That's it. Citizens, clearly the 86.5 is a tax, but you're telling citizens right there the cost of these extra items that are in that.
These softwares weren't designed for that. You'd have to rewrite the whole software because that's not right now. When I send my information to the vendor to be printed,
right,
I hit a button and it sends that data that's in there. What the data you're talking about is not housed in the property tax software. It's not, there's nowhere for me to pull it to send to the vendor.
And let me ask you this, Jerry. Let me ask you this. How difficult would it be to the vendors that we use? How much problem would it
you
be?
You know the number, you know the percentage.
Of the software.
It's just not unknown to us.
That's never been done before that I know of in the county. The way right. the property tax software is set up, it's not pulling from our software and the finance department. So it doesn't have that information.
Well, right. David, I get them for three different counties. They put comments, they put word, all stuff to citizens.
See, upgrade. If they could, you're saying if they could upgrade the software?
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible.
Right.
I'm sure the public listening is really confused. Everybody talking at one time.
An insert is actually the best way to go.
Even though the building goes out for.
That's right.
Oh, my.
That's a property tax. This is actually the water bill. The community center and landfill operation, mm-hmm. which is in their budget ordinance, are actually
taxes.
Ordinance that they have to create those. And then you have your fire tax levy in the ordinance. Fire tax aside, because we're not
there. Yet,
but the fire costs that we're having, that's just, we don't know where that money's coming from out of our general fund budget to support that, whether it's coming from property tax or from sales tax or from some other.
So what it does is basically cut you guys back from where you can pull the funds from.
What?
That's what you just said.
But what is this 52.2 cents that you say is from property tax?
Divide it right now with the property tax for the matter revenue. What it cost us costing us in solid waste this year, our budget is $516,000.
Mm-hmm.
That is just over 4 cents. You do it at 8.5 cents. So, but what I'm saying is, we could provide a statement that says that solid waste fee paid for 2.5 cents of it that comes out of the
They've
tell you how much that is.
Just like you told us.
You're not telling us.
We're not trying to call it a tax. We're not trying to call it. You tell us here that 52.2% is what's paid for, covered by property tax, right? I just want to take that same number that you talked about and take 52.2% of it. See, put that number on there.
When the tax bill is designed, it's designed based off the information that our system can populate it. So when we send it to them to print, they just populate those fields based on the information we have. So if we go add a fire tax or if we add a solid waste fee, that's simple. I can key that into our data. But this is not, I don't have.
No. I get you now because you would have to apply the percentage to each and every person's individual bill, right?
Right.
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 So I don't know, why the rest of the crowd wanted to do this, but my whole point of wanting to break it down was to show our actual tax and what's published, so we can compete with other counties.
Exactly.
When it comes to businesses and everything else. Yes. But if we can't do that, then I mean, if it's not going to lower that base,
it would. That's the thing. And it will show something different.
He can't show it on his card.
But it can be done if you
make it a real tax.
Do that.
But look, if you can't do it, insert will work. I'm just saying that, I understand what your point now is that you cannot do it, John. You have to do it on each individual person's taxes taken at 52.2%. And the software is not set up to do that. So until we get those funds set up at some point, if we go that direction, fine. But an insert, okay. I just thought it was something you could simply take.
that lies in the next point. And why I'm trying to say this is that, we could create
Chico.
If we create the solid waste fund, then we would have to determine what that fee would cost us. And it goes from if we do a tax rate or if we do an actual fee, we'd have to determine what that is. And that would have to come up to an ordinance. There's more work that we would have to do to get to that point to find out how we create the fund. I think that's more easily done than it is to do a new tax on something.
Okay.
So if we create a fund, the fire tax fee, again, that's coming down the line. There'll be a presentation on how to do that once we get to that point. If we get, you know,
Listen, those tax cards were brought in to give to you guys an example, okay, of what other counties are doing. What you just said is no different than what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Then why don't we do it?
Because we've never.
There's a process. Never been
I understand the process, yeah. Ms. Lee. My thing is. I'm sorry.
I just can't add it.
I'm not saying that is back in the day. Okay? What I'm saying is management can go through and take a budget number and break it. Okay. Right. And say that's what it's costing. Okay.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
Set up a fund.
And then it becomes, as you just said, a fund, right?
Set up a fund.
Okay.
If you could create it as a fund, you could also do like a number of counties and state and municipalities did on your budget document. You can create reports and spreadsheets and
Who was it that I talked to the other day? Somebody in management said we did this, you know, the charts and this, that, and the other. People really aren't going to know how to read all this kind of stuff, this, that, and the other. Some will, some won't. And it really gets become a convoluted, congested.
Would creating a fund work, Joe? Would creating a fund work until we get, if we decide to go with a real tax?
So you're talking about the solid waste fee.
And anything else we decide to put in a fund?
No, I think there actually legally has to be, if you're going to call put up there that this is a fire tax.
No. Nobody's using the fire tax.
Okay.
No, let's get that out of the way. The tax rate does not change.
Right.
We just want to show other items.
No.
And if you can put it in a fund,
no.
Would that allow you to put it on a card?
No.
No. Because they would automatically take it out of the rate if you put it on the card.
Exactly. And it's going to treat it as either a tax or a fee. Okay. Yeah.
So setting up to what you said doesn't get us there.
For solid waste, if we set up a fund and we create a fee to associate to that fund, then he could put a fee in there and everyone would pay the same amount.
Oh, you could, well, okay. Can you do that for the fire department?
But same even thing. That, all of that, it's going to be a process. It's not something that we just.
Okay, what I'm hearing here basically is it's a lot of work on management end to do this, correct?
Right, but you can do it if it's a fee, it's a fee.
To get this set up.
Any item that would take it out of there. Mm-hmm. That's what I just heard, right?
So one of the challenges as far as the fire fee that we were talking about, the current way we support support is that we would have to go in and figure out who's using inside municipalities versus they have to take out municipalities.
What
can be done?
The same thing.
I'm saying it cannot be done. There's a lot of work that we will have to do, and we will do that. If we're going to do it. That's not a problem. Mm-hmm. I'm just letting you know it's not something simple. We can just go up and say there are 20,000 residents in Berkeley County, each one of them.
Same thing with solid waste.
Okay, then I'll tell you what. Bring us something back.
Okay.
We've kicked this horse enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Every time I kick a horse like this, it starts to buck. Okay. And we're about to buck. So let's go ahead and bring us something back. Finance can get with you guys, get us some sort of idea.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows I got to go back to Kentucky. I'll be back sometime, I think, before the 17th. I'm just using that as a date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If the vice chair, myself, and the rest of the board will let this happen. Let us meet with management and just advise you guys in reference to this. And that way we can condense, adjust whatever you bring back to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can get it back to the board.
But the least of which could be an insert. The mm-hmm. least of which.
Right. Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
I'm just concerned with letting citizens know. Uh-huh. Exactly. How we let them know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
It's okay. As long as we can let
I think we all can know. Get on the same page, but we need to get this thing worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Everybody good with that? No, we're not. There's no additional fees and no additional tax. We're breaking it out so the public knows what the deal is.
They know exactly how the money's being spent.
And no extra money's being spent. But when we run into a situation where we hypothetically get emergency services, this is what the budget is, and we're doing a pay increase and it's going to cost another penny or 2 cents, whatever it may be, they have an understanding. This is what it was and this is where it went to. Well, we're doing it because they're saying that's how it has to be adjusted on the card if it's going to be done, but it's a lot of work to get it done and broke down, okay? Taxes ain't going anywhere at this time, okay? So that's the deal. Okay. Guys, I think that's the bottom of our list. Anybody have anything else?
Jonathan,
that's right. I'm sorry. We got to go back to Jonathan. You disappeared for like an hour, man. We missed you. I didn't even see you come back through the door, to be honest with you. You came incognito. You got a mask on. So, anyhow. All right. We're going to go back to Mr. Huddleston, county attorney, reference OPIB, and also phase one of the Tall Glass Water Project proposed agreement between Bertie County and Cinderella Partners, general contractors.
Which one would you like to discuss first?
A.
Okay. All right. Do you want to set any framework about this before I go into it, or just go ahead and talk about what the question is and what the answer is?
Yes, that question and answer.
I'll do that. Keep it simple. Question and answer. Well, the question is. All right, so we're talking about OPEB. The question is, what is a trust? So to have a trust, you need to have a written document that establishes the terms of the trust, and you have to appoint a trustee. Once you have those, then you transfer the corpus, the body, whether that's money or that's property or whatever it may be, into the trust. Then you've got a trust. In this case, with OPEB, you don't have a written document. You don't have a trustee appointed, nor do you have a transfer of anything into a trust that has a trustee or a written document. So Lloyd and I looked at it and we discussed it. We looked at the minutes that we were given from back when it was discussed. You had an idea that board came up with an idea, but that idea was never followed through on. There was no trust set up. We looked at our notes. We weren't told to set up a trust. We didn't set up a trust. So Lloyd, my conclusion with Lloyd is that it was an idea that was never created. It was never followed through on. So if you choose not to have a trust, then you can do that because you're not taking down a trust. You're not dismantling. You're not terminating a trust because there is no trust.
Okay. Do we need to make a motion or anything of this nature, or is it just said in the minutes? Because it was stated in the minutes prior, not prior, but 6 years, 2016, I guess, 17, something like that, that it's in the minutes. That this is how it was going to be and never got followed through on management, correct?
Right.
Okay. So my question to you is, what do we do?
Well, you don't need to do much about something that wasn't done.
Okay. So we just walk away from it.
I would say so. If there's anything.
Okay. Well, I've always been one to take counsel advice on prior audits. That's the case.
Well, right.
And never.
Commissioner Weston said the fact that it was in prior audits. I mean, you could, if you did anything, you could correct those audits. But
could just make a statement on the record that it was never. So what we're doing now, does that correct the process of me saying it was never done, even though it was in the audit, it was never done. So is that sufficient?
I believe it is.
Okay, that's my question. That's the reason I need to know if we need to be reversed, a motion, or anything like that. And you're saying we don't need to do that. That's fine with me. That's what legal counsel's telling me. That's how I see it. Okay, if that's what you want to do with it.
Are we now going to set one up?
No, I don't think we need to.
I don't think we can afford to at the moment. I wish we could, but I don't see how we can afford to. Not now. I think at some point we need to do it, but when we can get above that 8% and have the extra funds, it makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, 10%, whatever. Yeah, 10%. You're right.
Was there a vote to a motion made and a second and a vote to set one up? It seemed like it was.
Back then, I thought there was.
I thought we did too. I thought
we read the minutes.
We instructed to it be done. I thought we took a vote, but I don't. Long time ago.
Based on the way the minutes read, it may have been during a work session or something. Like a lot of things were discussed, and it looks like everything was just kind of approved all together based on my reading of the minutes.
Right.
There was a motion and a second for a number of things, I'm saying. And I think the OPEB was a part of the, you know, a number of things, but just a single statement. That's not what I recall.
Well, if it was included in a decision along with a number of other things, then
yes,
maybe the best course would be to go ahead and vote to say that a prior board voted to establish a trust. One has not been established, and the decision is made not to establish a trust.
What was the date of that?
Have that, Jonathan. You have the date on that? I can pull it up, but I don't have it in front of me.
Date on the minutes I'm looking at are June of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
June 1, 2016.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. And your motion is what the.
My motion is not a trust at the present time.
Okay. But through the words of the county attorney, through his advice. Okay.
And his advice.
Okay. Okay, there's been a motion put on the floor. Please do.
That prior board approved an open account, trust account on June 16th, 2016. And that account was never made or set up. And this board is making a motion to
correct the record.
Correct that motion and vote and not to set it up at this time.
Okay, well, I need to step in there now because I need to amend that. Okay. you can laugh. This is the reason I say that. It's not up to the board to set this account up. Okay. Who's responsible for setting up the account? I mean, as far as getting with attorneys and all that.
The board would give the directive and management, manager, finance director would take the necessary steps, which of course could include the attorneys, but we would take the necessary steps to get the trust set up.
Okay, then one point I want to make is I think it needs to be stated in there since you have answered the question.
Mm-hmm.
That management didn't proceed forward, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to rephrase that?
All right. So, prior board on June 17th.
Let me be sure I got this. I'm looking at minutes that are June 1, 2016.
Okay.
And
authorized, voted on a trust, an OPED trust account to be set up that and instructed staff management to set that trust up, and the trust was never set up, and now we are instructing staff not to set it up until our fund balance is
but you leave that part off.
Right.
Just
leave that part out. So at a later date the trust fund will be set up.
Say we're taking it off. No. I'm just saying end it where you said it was not set up. And we're not setting it up at this point.
Yes, sir.
Here.
Whoever's taking the minutes for that, are y'all clear on what was just done. So it's correct.
It's recorded, and I have it. I got it.
Let me be sure that I've got the right date on that, because Juan sent me June minutes for meetings held June 6th, 7th, and 20th of 2016. So the June 1 is the date at the top of the budget message, but the actual vote, let me be sure I've got, I think the vote date was probably later than that. So let me see. On June 20th, regular meeting, 2016. There's a vote at the end of this meeting I'm looking for the vote. There's a vote, a motion to approve the newly proposed version of the 2016-2017 budget ordinance, the tax rate of 83 cents. I'm trying to decide if that's where incorporated into that, or if it was a separate vote.
No citizen.
Juan, if I handed these to you, would you be able to find it a little quicker than me? Sorry. So let's see. So you said then it's June 6th, June 7th, and June 20th. Yeah, I'm looking for the actual motion. So June 6th and 7th was a budget work session. There's nothing. I'm looking for the highlighting. And so this is a no motion there. Motion there. See, I think that was the budget message. All right. So then we go past some charts and we get down to June. Tuesday, June 7th. Yeah, that is something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something else. Okay. Yeah. So then we get into June 20th. Mm-hmm. Talked about it.
Actual motion was commission we made most of the newly proposed version of the 2017 budget ordinance with the tax rate. Kind of all get together and not necessarily with a specific motion just worth it. That's the only
motion. Included in that? That's just a motion to approve the budget ordinance.
It was clearly a consensus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's true.
Yeah. Did you clearly say one of the? No. Yeah, I with the belief that there the understanding that it was included in one, I was going to say you'd address that, but
so that was the 20th.
So that was the 20th, right?
Should I make a motion? I'll make a motion that on June the 20th of 2017, the previous board, there was consensus that there was should be an OPEB account, trust account set up. That account was never set up. And at this time, this board is not going to set one up. How's that, y'all? Yay. Is there
Let me read this. Let me read this sentence since we're for looking back at what we did in the minutes. It says one of the board's top financial priorities for 2016, and this is in the portion of the minutes that talks about 2016-17 final budget. Under the section called retiree health insurance, it says one of the board's top financial priorities for 2016 is to adopt a strategy to address this long-term liability. And the final FY 2016-17 budget includes a funding strategy based on depositing $100 a month per authorized position in an irrevocable trust fund account, with these monies permanently restricted for post-employment health insurance costs for retirees. Funding is included in the special appropriations category identified as OPEB trust for this purpose in the amount of $242,400 for fiscal year 2016-17. So it says that funding was included in the special appropriations category. So then at the end, towards the end of the meeting, then a motion was made to approve the proposed version of the 16-17 budget ordinance.
And that would have been in the order.
Did my motion just cover that? I mean,
what? No, there was never a trust. There was never a trust set up.
We know that. Sorry. We know that.
But did we vote to, in that vote that was taken at the end, that include what we said was going into that fund? It clearly said we were setting it up, but we voted at the end, as Juan said, it was on all of those things that made up that.
That was my perception, understanding. Of course, I wasn't here, but the way that the minutes read, it says, you know, you talk about all this budget stuff, but identified that it was a top priority of the budget, but then you just kept talking, and at the end, it was just a motion to approve the budget ordinance.
Okay, but that was part of the budget ordinance, correct? That's the interpretation. I mean, that's what we were advised by management that it was.
But your motion, Commissioner Lee, seems to take care of it. I mean, let's just do away with this thing.
What happened to the money?
So to amend my budget, instead of consensus, the vote that took place on June the 20th. That's mine.
Okay. All right, we have a motion. Is there a second? All right, we have a motion by Ms. Lee and a second by Mr. Atkins. All in favor? Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Now we'll go back to Jonathan again. You got a contract for us, phase one, Tall Glass of Water Project, proposed agreement between Bertie County and Cinderella Partners, Inc., general contractors.
Okay.
I'm fine with getting that down. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way.
Right. There, phase one of Tall Glass of Water construction was put out for bids. Two bids were received, and Cinderella Partners, a licensed general contractor, was the low bidder. Vines has sent a letter to the county recommending that Cinderella's bid be accepted. I believe a committee or a group from the county met, discussed. There's a base bid, and then there were several options that could be added to it. And options, the base bid, and then alternatives 1 and 3 were selected by the RT County group. And so that came to, as Robin said earlier today, total of $761,240. So contract was drafted based on that figure. The contract format that was used was discussed at the beginning of the bidding process. Vines, the architect, in my experience, usually prepares the contract. Vines does it a little bit different. They suggested some formats. I looked at them, picked one. I picked the one that was used exactly like the one that was used with the library. The and which was A101. It's A stands for American Institute of Architects. A101 and A201. A101 is the basic 10-page contract. A201 is the standard general conditions for the construction. Both are used widely. So I reviewed those. Again, those were actually in the bid package, so the bidders would know roughly what the contract would look like. So I took that and I inserted all the information for these parties and this project. We had made some changes for the library contract regarding liquidated damages. If the job is not completed by the deadline, so I did that here. The library contract, we also had some additional retainage withheld until the very end, until the owner and the architect approved the final job. So I included that in this contract as well. So it's very similar to the library contract. So I finished those drafts, sent them to Cinderella Partners. Vine suggested we send a letter of intent to let Cinderella know that it's very likely that the contract would be awarded to them as low bidder. So so we prepared a letter that Juan signed that said that the commissioners would be meeting and the commissioners would make the final decision. But it was very likely that they may be awarding the contract. So just to give them a heads up, they did respond this afternoon and had just on their first review had just a few minor questions. And Vines has already answered those questions. So they were just some relatively minor questions. So I'm sure that Cinderella is going to study the documents a little bit further. But what we would need from this board would be a decision to award the job to Cinderella as the low bidder, and to approve the construction contract for Cinderella.
Okay. Robin, the options that are picked that are on the contract are the correct options, correct? I'm sorry?
Add alternates.
Okay. He said options, but anyhow, the add alternates are the correct alternates on the contract, correct? Okay. And we already have this money set aside for the match, which I think is what, $52,000, something of that nature we voted on. We voted on last year. Okay. Okay. And that is basically for phase one, is it not correct? Okay. So that's phase one, which is infrastructure going into Tall Glass of Water project. Okay. And the added things that Robin has mentioned to us already. And I'll entertain a motion on awarding this contract to Cinderella Construction. Can I have a motion, please?
Make the
with the two additional dips that were so noted.
The alternates. Okay. All right. We have a motion by Mr. Wesson. Can I have a second? Okay. We have a second by Mr. Robertson. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Anything else anybody wants to add to this? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. We have a motion to adjourn. Have a second.
Second
by Mr. Atkins. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's more, it definitely more than I normally do. But,